Amen, House of Judah. Y'all ready to rethink some more this morning? I'm ready to think some more too and rethink. And today, y'all, we're going right into part two. And this time, as we rethink and we give thanks, the question is, what are we bringing to the table? Repeat it back to me. What are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? The most important things, repeat after me again. We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ. And it is true, y'all. We have to know to whom we belong. That's how we rethink. And that's how we remember who we are. And so I'm going back to the Moses scripture, to the Exodus 15:20 scripture. Moses in Exodus 15:22, if you're going to read along with me. Exodus 15:22 tells us, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. For the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" There Moses made a statute and ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of your God and keep all his statutes." Y'all, last week, I think I accidentally said he made a statue. He didn't make a statue. He made a statute, a law. And he said, if we keep all God's statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I've brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So y'all, if we are going to rethink and reshift our perspective, it does include that we think, that we rethink. How do we rethink those 10 plagues? How do we rethink the situations that we are in when it looks like, or when we have not come to an answer or any water? And how do we rethink? And we rethink by asking, what do we bring to the table? Ask somebody, what do you bring to the table? What do you bring to the table? Now, when we think about what we bring to the table, it really does require that we rethink. What are we thinking about when we think about whatever situations we're in? Repeat after me. What are we thinking about? When we think about what we're going through. So, are we looking at what is behind us and fearing, or are we looking at what's before us and fearing? Are we looking at what is behind us and we're seeing the salvation of the Lord? Or are we just seeing how hard it was? Are we seeing the 10 plagues? Whenever we look before us, can we see the promised land even though we're not there? So in verse 26, Moses says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, and give ears to his commands and his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I've brought on Israel. Somebody say that. God said, I will put none of these diseases on you that I have brought on the Egyptians. See, y'all, when we look back and we see God doing one thing and another and different things, we really do have to be careful about what we are looking at, what we are claiming, and what we are seeing, even though we have been through hard times, because Israel's slavery was real. Our pain, our hardship, those things that we have been through, they are real. But if we're going to change our perspective, we kind of have to stay in the place of Moses and Miriam, which is, and this is a recap, we have to remember that the Lord will fight for us. Somebody say, the Lord will fight for me. Somebody say, the Lord is fighting for me. I just have to be still. I just have to be still. Do y'all have to remind y'allself of that sometime? I just have to be still. Because when we are in that searching high and low, looking everywhere, searching place, and God has not come, we have to remember, wait a minute, y'all. Just saying, we were just singing a few minutes, not unto us. We were just singing. My response is hallelujah. We were singing as Moses did. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become the salvation, my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, the God of my fathers. I will exalt him. Y'all, that's a song to sing, isn't it? And then Miriam got her tambourine out, her and the other women, and they were singing and dancing. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Somebody say, highly exalted. The horse and his rider, God has thrown into the sea. Can y'all imagine seeing that? I can imagine being panicked. Really. Y'all probably know by now that sister has great experience in panicking at one time in her life. I can own it. I can admit it. But that's why I like topics like this. Yes, I was running amok and afraid and confused like one of those sheep that did not know the shepherd's voice or what a shepherd even looked like. And then, by the grace of God, we all get to rethink. So, y'all, what are we bringing to the table? It's Thanksgiving, isn't it? What y'all bringing to the table? You get lucky whenever somebody tell you, especially if they wonder what you're doing in the kitchen. Child, don't worry. You just come. Just bring yourself. Don't worry about nothing. Just bring yourself. I like people who do that. I'm like, ooh, don't have to cook nothing. Hurt nobody. Bless me, God. Yeah, I can cook a little bit, okay? I can. You know, I didn't get like this just eating at McDonald's. But truly, what are we bringing to the table, y'all? And we can say, this question always came up. What are we bringing to the table? Especially whenever now on the dating scene for people. That was like one of the first few times that I heard that. What are you bringing to the table? What they bringing to the table? What you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table, Katie Webb? Y'all, last week when I was meditating and praying over what we were going to talk about to say today, I heard the Holy Spirit say, myself. I promise you it wasn't me. Holy Spirit says, myself and my strength. Somebody say, myself and my strength. Y'all, at this table called life that has so many opportunities for us to sit, to prepare, to participate in, MYSELF is the wonderful acronym that they gave us. MYSELF, the M is mercy. The M stands for the mercy of God. God gives us mercy. Brand new mercies we see every day. So God gives us mercy so that we can extend mercy to others. We bring our yieldability. Somebody say yieldability. I am able to yield. I'm yieldable because I finally learned to yield to God. Somebody say hallelujah. My response is finally I yield. Somebody say I yield. I had to cry that out one time. I yield. Can't hold out any longer. And so, just like driving, we have to be merciful, gracious driver, because how many accidents are we familiar with, either of our own or somebody else's, that we didn't yield the right away? See, we learn to yield to God so that we can yield to others. And when we haven't practiced rethinking what yielded looks like in terms of our relationship with God as it relates to others, we realize, just like in traffic, everybody has to yield. I get to yield, you get to yield. Everybody has to yield at one time or another, or there will be a crash. Somebody say yieldability. The S in self, myself, is salvation. What you bringing to the table? My salvation. Y'all remember the series SOS? Save our souls. Are we seeing only sin, or are we seeing others' salvation? Are we seeing our salvation? Are we seeing the salvation of the Lord in a situation that we may not have considered before we rethought it? So when we bring our self, our salvation to the table, that's not a bad thing to bring along with us, is it? Somebody say S-O-S. See our salvation. The E is for empowerment. Got to refer back to the storm when we were talking a few weeks ago. Y'all got power now. Everybody should have power now, right? Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. So we are empowered so that we can empower others, not that we can boast in what we have done and what we can do and what we are doing. No. We empower one another. We use that resurrection power of God to stay strong, to remember our salvation and the salvation of others, and to yield. There's a difference in yielding and backing down. There's a difference when we use the power of the Holy Spirit to look away and to choose what we are going to look at. And then we got to have some love. Got to have love. Can't do anything without love. The word tells us, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the statutes and the commands that Moses was talking about depends on one word. L-O-V-E. You, I love you. Oh, tell somebody, say it to me, I love you. I love you too. I love you. See, when we really, really start having that relationship with God that is salvation driven, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I begin to love more. And I see the love that is being formed and coming forth from God through me because we're mirrors. Remember, y'all, I can tell how much I'm loving God and myself and how I treat you and how I allow others to treat me. Somebody say, love me right. Love me like Jesus. Yes, love me like Jesus. And this is a word that I can say that I'm not used to using myself. Y'all, that word is fortitude. Somebody say you got to have fortitude. Fortitude is a cardinal. That means it's one of the main ones. Fortitude, you have to have fortitude, which is a cardinal virtue. It embodies courage no matter what we're going through. It is a spiritual trait that transcends. So if our minds are being transformed and renewed, what is our minds being transformed and renewed into? A transcending courage. A transcending way of thinking, being, and seeing. And this fortitude informs our faith. Amen. Say, my fortitude informs my faith. Let me tell you how. See, whenever we're looking back, when we come to this table, whatever table of life brings us, we look at things through different eyes and rethink. Where I used to panic, I can touch bases with the three Hebrew boys who helped me to know that Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. Fortitude reminds me that if I happen to be by myself and I find myself in a lion's den, I know that God is with me and he's going to close the mouth of those lions. And when I go through the fire and when I go through a flood, and it may be a vast body of water in front of me, and God only knows what is behind me, I can remind myself, this is something that I don't have to fight. And the waters and the floods will not overtake me, because 9 times out of 10, somebody repeat after me, it's not my first time. It's not my first time. That's why we rethinking. Because when you re, that means to do over. So we rethink. And how are we rethinking, y'all? With our strength. I love this verse right here, too. 1 Corinthians 15:58. How do we stand in strength? We have to make up our mind. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, somebody say knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Somebody say my labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, that's where the strength comes from. Because we get to be standing and we become steadfast because we understand fortitude, which informs our faith. And it also strengthens us. So they gave us an acronym for strength too. And the S in what is sacred, y'all? How do we connect with those sacred things? Well, 1 Peter 1:15, 16 tells us, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written. Jesus said this, be holy because I am holy. That's how we do it, y'all. Does not matter what we hear, does not matter what we are told or what comes at us, fiery darts in any way, form, or fashion. Excuse me, I'm holy because God is holy. I don't understand it. I may not be able to explain it, but I do know this. If God said, be holy for I am holy, that is a command. but it is also an identifier. Somebody say it's two things happen at one, and it could be three. It's two things. He's telling me what I am. How long can we continue to allow people to tell us what we're not? And we struggle, and we fight, and we feel brokenhearted because somebody else keep telling us you ain't holy. But the word says, be holy because I am holy. That's what God said. He said it in Leviticus 2. Then how are we able to have strength? We have to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, and lean not to our own understanding. The way God sees us as who he calls us to be is not really understood by anything that we can understand. That's why we shout hallelujah. That's how we have to be aware of what our response is as we rethink. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts, says Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 18 tells us, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Somebody say the ministry of reconciliation. Not the ministry of judging. Not the ministry of hard-heartedness. Not the ministry of tough love. Not the ministry of condemnation. The ministry, somebody say, the ministry of reconciliation. That means we are constantly giving and forgiving 70 times 7, and we're looking back at ourselves, myself. We're looking at God's mercy. We're yielding because we're yielding to God. We have the S of salvation because it's the salvation of the Lord that's going to help us to stand and reconcile with some of the things that come across us. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to not punch back. We have to be empowered. We have to love because love covers a multitude of sins. And it's going to take the fortitude to remember, there is a fourth man in the fray with me. I'm not alone. His name is Jesus. And so that's where the encouragement comes. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. Somebody say, build each other up. There are enough things out there to tear us down without even trying. Even people who won't yield in traffic can take you off of your praise. So we have to build up one another. And then we have to nurture each other. Y'all, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and it needs to be said. Nurture. Ephesians 6:4 says this. Do not, parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but discipline them and instruct them in the Lord. See, right before that, it says, children, honor your mother and your father. Boy, we have some special parents out here. And people have the audacity to say, you got to steal, that's your mama. Now that's your daddy. You got to honor your mother and your father. Okay. I'm about to bust in Ephesians. Would somebody please tell mama and daddy to not provoke me to anger? You did not bring me into the world, and you cannot take me out because I'm not yours. I belong to God. You were a vessel, and I'm a product of how God used and chose to use you to get me here. So, parents, as a parent who had to learn, check yourself. Check yourself. Don't wreck yourself on being too hard on our children. I ain't saying let them run rampant, because that does not say it. It says discipline and instruct them in the Lord. Not the way grandmama and them used to do it. Not the old school way, but in the way of the Lord. Would somebody say in the way of the Lord? Okay, so parents, us, Katie Webb, you too. You want your kids to act right. Mm-hmm. Don't provoke them to anger. Do not. Say it one more time, y'all. Do not provoke your children to anger. That's a part of our strength. It's a part of the gospel. Now, we got to have genuineness. Y'all know how I like to do tag, right? Well, guess what tag two is? Tag two is being transparent, authentic, and genuine. When we are rethinking this journey that we are on, we have to think in terms of being transparent, authentic, and genuine. And Matthew 5:8 tells us, blessed are the pure in heart. Are our hearts pure? Are our hearts pure? Are our thoughts pure? And are we bringing purity of heart to the table by being genuine? Can't laugh and talk with you in your face and then turn around and go across the room and say, girl, guess what? That is not genuine. Because we have to have the truth. We trust in the Lord so that we can have truth. And 1 John 3:18 tells us, do not let us not love in words only, but in action. Girl, I love you. You know I love you. Well, how are you showing and proving that you love me? How are we showing the love? Show the love of Jesus. Witness sang that. Why don't you show? Why don't you show? Why don't you show? Rethink. Show the love of Jesus. The name of the song is You Haven't Learned. You haven't learned or you haven't loved until you've loved somebody with the love of Jesus. How are we going to love them? Show the love of Jesus. Why come you don't show the love of Jesus, Katie Webb? Why don't you show the love of Jesus, Katie Webb? Show the love of Jesus. Boy, that'll trip them up, won't it? Every reason to punch you right back. I ain't turning no cheeks. I got a bad back, but I'm going to find a way to show you the love of Jesus. I'm yielding because I've turned till I'm dizzy. So I'm going to show the love of Jesus. That's why I'm going to rethink this. Because, see, I might get turned back around, right? I'm talking about Katie. So I'm going to stand still in the strength of being steadfast and unmovable, and I'm going to just show the love of Jesus. Because sometimes when we turn, and Matthew 12:34 tells us, Matthew 12:34, 1, 2, 3, 4, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart, sister? What is truly in our heart? And so as we rethink Exodus and we practice and rethink and we're thanking God and we're giving him the glory and we're giving him the praise and we rethink, how do we rethink those plagues that we've gone through? Paul tells us in Philippians 4, think on these things. Jumping ahead. Somebody say this with me. Stay with God. Y'all, we have to practice staying with God. We really do. How do we stay with God? Think on these things. You can't think happy thoughts all the time. Well, they say we should in Philippians 4. It's a virtue. What's virtuous? What's kind? What's good? What's a good report? What are we thinking about when we think? And then we can hear what Moses said. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of your God and do what is right in his sight, not giving them what they deserve, and give ear to God's commandment, not other voices that may be commanding us. And we keep his statute, stand on faith, remember the fortitude. We do that, he says, I'll put none of these diseases on you. Rethink, could it be that at times, sometimes some of the things we encounter is because we have not kept his commandment? If we're going through, rethink, we may as well rethink deep. We have to rethink deep. What did I do? Did I cause anybody? It's called self-reflection. So as we rethink and we look around at the things that we are having opportunities to address, we'll also hear Moses say, for I am the Lord who heals you. God says, I am the Lord who heals you. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there. When we rethink, and at this time, what we're bringing to the table, oh, I might go buy some potato salad if I get invited somewhere, but what we bring to the table? Myself. Somebody say, I'm bringing myself. I'm bringing myself and I'm bringing my strength. Somebody say, I'm bringing my strength. That's how I stay with God. With myself and my strength. And I'm rethinking this thing and I'm thanking God that the plagues really didn't come. We have to remember that just because it's happening over here and it's happening in this house and it's happening in this marriage, it's happening on this job, it doesn't have to happen to us, y'all. Well, you know what could happen to me. No, it could not. We have to think. Please stand, House of Judah. I'm bringing myself to the table this year, every day. I'm bringing God's mercy. I'm yielding because I've yielded to God. Got to have salvation because that's what makes it all work together. I'm empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love you because God loves me. And because I love God so much and I'm finally learning how to love myself, I love you. I do. Because of fortitude. I didn't realize that when I went through those hard times, I wasn't in there by myself. But when I rethink it, I do. I was not alone. When I start seeing those hard times, my faith increases because this is how we become steadfast and unmovable. I'm not just doing any work. Excuse me. I'm doing the work of the Lord. So even as I'm driving down the highway, it's still the work of the Lord. Wherever I show up, no matter where the table may be, I'm still doing the work of the Lord. And I know, somebody say, I know my labor is not in vain. My labor is not in vain. I have to have the faith, and I'm rethinking this thing because I don't know. I don't care what I did once before. Today, somebody say, I'm staying with God. And as long as I stay with God, I can bring myself because I can't go. Where can I get away from? If you ever feel alone, whether you're present and listening or whatever you're hearing, wherever you are doing what you're never alone. Because where can you go without your heart breathing, your breath? We are never alone. So let's rethink this thing and get on to the table. He said he'll place you, he'll spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies. At the table? What's at the table? Is your healing at the table? Are you bringing healing to the table? Is your provision at the table? Is Jehovah coming with you to the table as a provider? Or is he your Nisi? You're the guy who is, he is with you in battle? So you don't have to come to the table with a knife to cut nobody. Oh, y'all, let's rethink this thing. And somebody say, give God thanks. We giving God thanks this morning. Let's give him a hand back, clap of praise. Lord, we give you the thanks and we give you the praise because you are good and your mercy endures forever. And so as we come before you, Lord, we just thank you once again. We so glad that you restore us. That's why we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us realize that this renewal is constant. The restoring is constant. The nurturing is constant. The sustaining is constant. The strength comes from you. And all you do and all you're right there with us doing, help us to rethink so we can see. Even if we are at the table by ourselves, truly, we're not alone. Because you promised us you would never leave us nor forsake us. So maybe some of us may need to go out to eat every now and then, quote unquote, alone, and set a table, a place at the table for your presence to be there, and just look at the presence of where you are with us. Look there saying, it may not be anybody there physically with me, but my God is sitting at this table with me. No matter where I go. And so, God, we say thank you. Oh, whoever is listening, whoever is viewing, whatever the case may be, God, meet us all and help us to remember to rethink how awesome you are. Whether we are in the fire, whether we're in the flood, no matter what the case may be, let's rethink this thing. Because your mercy is so wonderful. Help us to remember to yield to you. And when we yield to you, it's not giving up. Help us remember these things, God. Help us to rethink. Our salvation was paid for with your blood. You are the bread of life. And Lord, your love was poured forth so that we can eat and eat and eat and drink from your cup of love, and you fortify us just because you're God. And we say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for the courage. Thank you for new thoughts, brand new thoughts of you. And for this we say thank you. For it is in the strong, healing, saving, revitalizing, reconciling name of Jesus, who knows exactly what we need, when we need it, wherever we are. We say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we say amen.